Weekly crop conditions come in. No surprise we see a drop in corn and beans because it is into August. But also, the crop tour underway is finding some discrepancies in the fields. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. As Mike Suzzolo joins me, Mike, of course, at Global Commodity Analytics. And it's maybe not a surprise that we're not seeing some good numbers coming out with this tour.
Yeah, I don't think it should be a surprise, but it has been to the trade at this point, Susan. And I think it's really interesting because, oversimplifying it, I think the WASDE report was about the wheat and the corn. And we had the Black Sea issues that were finally getting recognized and appreciated by the trade. Again, that was more about the wheat and the corn as we closed Friday's trade out and saw some new monthly highs in both wheat and the corn markets, and they were being led higher by the European futures in Paris. But then we came back after the weekend, and with wheat and corn looking very strong and finishing so nicely technically on Friday, they kind of had a tailwind, but the question mark was about soybeans. Well, that question, I think, was answered and dispelled by the fact that the crop tour came in to help visualize what was happening in the Eastern Corn Belt, where I do have, unfortunately, clients in Eastern Indiana that have been kind of on the fringe of the worst of the rainfall totals. And they are definitely in a situation where low, flat ground is going to be taken out. River, creek, bottom ground definitely going to be taken out. And so it really called into question after Monday's update. With the Pro Farmer Tour, I think we have to say, at this stage, probably went through the worst states on Monday, and Monday night's numbers were the worst that we're probably going to see, both South Dakota being in one of the worst drought areas of the country, and then heading into Nebraska, but then Ohio and Indiana on the eastern leg. I guess I feel like those are the two worst areas that the tour is going to have to go through. Regardless, that helped to visualize the damage to the soybeans, and then it was all about soybeans, it seemed like to me. That continued today until the wheat market got caught up, I think, in some profit-taking led by Europe. But I found it really interesting Monday afternoon thinking about the soybean rally and how the U.S. supplies still are in question. Even without a heat dome, without a ridge of high pressure, it's almost like we're getting the price action of a ridge of high pressure here in mid-August led by the soybeans when it's the exact opposite weather pattern.
So the WASDE and the chronological of it all continues, though, to be discussed within the marketplace. And then when you add it to what you're seeing in these crop tours, it's going to make things interesting as we get ready for the next report to come out.
Yeah, it is. And in the very, very short term, I think that the tour will play havoc in terms of volatility and price action because the trade's going to look at almost every word, I suspect, about what the tour finds because of the crop conditions supporting the tour findings and vice versa. I mean, think about it. We've got corn conditions at 60% good to excellent. That compares to 71 a year ago. 9 of the 18 major corn producing states have a very poor condition above 10%. So that's a very high number historically. Soybeans not doing as bad. Only 5 of 18 states have very poor conditions above 10%. But the crop conditions and the tour work together, and I suspect this may happen again next week with the damage from the flooding starting to show up, and that may take another week or two to get all the way through into the numbers. And so it's very important to keep an eye on that, and that goes to your point about the next report and how significant that's going to be. I think the trade was assuming, I was certainly assuming, big bean pods and numbers on the beans for pods and a cooler, wetter bias would give us a lot more likelihood of a bigger bean yield in the September crop report. I think we pulled off that big time.
So speaking of weather, as we head over to Europe, now I understand that there is some potential for some rains to start moving in, but there's a lot of concerns about their wheat crop with how dry and hot it's been.
Yeah, there's a couple things that have to be watched here. You're right. The European drought does look like it's going to dissipate slowly. Most of the weather models are suggesting that the Western European areas of Spain, France, Germany, and even getting into Poland will have ample rainfall. Ukraine is still a question mark, though, and Western Russia is still a question mark. And so that's going to be tough to distinguish because we've got a lot of fun longs in Paris wheat right now, and to a lesser degree Paris corn. So Paris is going to be maybe more of a headwind than it has been the last few weeks, months, unless the Black Sea issue rears its ugly head again in terms of lost production, infrastructure, supply chain issues, so on and so forth.
What about feeders? As we switch gears and look at the livestock, they're just trying to find some footing underneath them.
Yeah, I'm separating out the fats versus the feeders with my clients and subscribers right now. The feeders specifically are under the pressure of stronger corn prices with unwinding of feeder corn spreads. And I've seen that, you know, the past several weeks now. We also have incoming these Mexican feeders coming across the border and into a couple ports in the not too distant future. And so that's going to, I think, lead to more of let's sell rallies until we get the numbers from what Mexico actually has. And so I think the feeders are probably more of a weak link in the chain when it comes to the two, especially given that maybe the drought in the hard red wheat belt, i.e. cattle country, is starting to go away or will start to dissipate as well. And heaven knows we need it with states like South Dakota at 66% short to very short on pasture and range conditions, Nebraska at 73, Wyoming at 71%. I think the cattle, though, Susan, it looks like to me maybe we're seeing a little bit of a seasonal low being carved out in the cutout, and we've got this cash premium over futures. And I would also say because of what the Packers have been able to do in terms of cutting out production and shutting down facilities, now the Packer break-evens are, you know, mysteriously positive after being deep in the red. And so the demand by Packers should be very, very strong as we finish out this summer grilling season. So I see a bit of a separation between fats and feeders here.
All right. Mike Zuzulo joining us today to give us a breakdown to what we see in the markets. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. And that's the Tuesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.